What a roller coaster the Messengers documentary had been. Neil, Willie, Chris, and Ralph were like a coaster tied to the tracks, but the tracks they were tied to was the amazing stories they were filming, stories that were unfolding into a movie, while at the same time creating a story of their own. The internal story would include the highs of a standing ovation, the loops of an awkward firing, and the lowest of lows of losing a family member days before a screening. Today on The Messengers, we give you the behind-the-scenes thoughts and feelings of the first screening of the movie and the avalanche of emotions that smothered the crew. You will hear how the podcasting community is like no other community, stepping up to help each other in our deepest times of need. I'm Dave Jackson. Welcome to The Messengers Podcast. If you've never listened to this show, I strongly urge you to go to themessengersdoc.com/podcast and listen to this series in order.
I don't know about you, Neil. You ready? Willie? It started last year, and for the better part of a movie, I've been saying, this is Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. What's your message? Check this out. We're going to see their message. Roll the film, please.
An excited crowd of hundreds of people filled an auditorium to see this movie, with very few of them knowing the blood, sweat, and tears that had gone into the making of the movie. Neil Gallarte.
I have an amazing father-in-law. I say have because there's days that I still feel like he's here, and I haven't really, because I've been so busy, whether it be making the movie, trying to run a business, be a dad, be a strong husband to my wife who lost her dad. There's a little small part of me that hasn't yet coped with or accepted that Monse is gone. 2 days before PodFest, when I was editing near the end of the film, feverishly trying to finish this movie, we get a call and I see my wife, near the top of the staircase, just dropped to her knees, and it was that call. You know, your father is in the hospital, cardiac arrest, 2 different heart attacks on the way in the ambulance. And they were asking her to, she didn't even know he had left her power of attorney. We thought it was her other sister. So they were asking her to make the biggest decisions of her life. And I'm sitting there with her trying to help her make these decisions as she's in tears. And Willie Harper had been here because his car broke down. Literally, it was like divine intervention. The car broke down and he was here. He's like, well, I guess I'll help you edit tonight. I'll watch what you're doing. I'm not really here to edit. I don't want to edit. He's one of the cameramen of the film, director of photography. And he's like, I'm not really here to edit, but I'll watch what you're doing. I'll give you some opinions. And then of course this happens. So
while Neil is dealing with his own crisis, Willie now steps in to help with the film.
What it was is me focusing on the whole movie itself, because the whole movie didn't have no music, and there was a lot of pieces that didn't match up. There was a lot of black holes. So basically, if we would have saw the movie the way that Neil wanted us to see, because we were getting closer to the end, it would have been, you would have saw a movie, then you would have saw a lot of black spots with nothing there, and then more movie.
So you were basically filling up gaps so it was viewable.
Right. So that's what I did.
Meanwhile, at the hospital,
she had to make that final decision to about an hour later, or it felt like an hour, maybe it was 30 minutes, to end life support. And in the moment, I was so busy just trying to help her. It didn't hit me that he will not be here for the premiere of The Messengers or to ever see it. And so we rushed to Orlando to the hospital. Shortly after we arrived, we ended life support along with some family members that were there. And then we said our final goodbyes. My daughter, Natalia, her mom, me. And it was the biggest blow ever. And 2 days later, I had to show this film at PodFest. So at PodFest, I didn't even enjoy the conference. I was in the hotel room working. Sometimes Danny Pena came by. Big shout out to Danny Pena for just being a friend, man. And during a tough time of my life, Willie Harper came in, worked on the film as well, down until literally the last moment when we had to go downstairs and play it. And so we ended up screening a version of the film, 40 minutes long, about half the movie, about three quarters of the movie. And about the last 10 minutes had no polish, no audio, no nothing.
The projector guy told him, look, you got to have it down here in about 30 minutes or else I'm not going to be able to play it because I need time for my machine to calibrate the audio. That way the audio levels don't go crazy, right? You're not blowing people's ears.
I had no clue that was going on.
Yeah. So what Neil did is that we sent out a 10-minute version, and then the guy watched it. He said the audio was fine. And the guy said, look, don't tell nobody else. If you can bring this to me in about 2 more hours, if you can get this done, whatever you need, in 2 more hours, then I'll play the revised version. But at least I have this old one right now. So Neil runs upstairs, tells me, well, we got 2 more hours, which now, well, we only had 2. Now we have 4 hours. So I said, oh, okay. So let me take that 1 hour. Let me go through the whole entire movie, make sure everybody's audio is there before I even touch Guatemala and get on to Danny. So that's what I did. So then we only have 15 minutes left before it's time to premiere this. I've only gotten a small piece of Danny up there. Hence, more Guatemala has gotten in there. More of Katie's gotten there. More of Glenn's gotten there. Everybody else has gotten up there. So in my mind, I'm like, well, at least the first 45 minutes is watchable. The rest of it is not watchable.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. The movie flowed really well up until the end.
Correct.
And then it started unraveling, and what I think you guys did, and I think it was Neil's call, you just cut it off, which I think was a smart decision, because it left people wanting to see more. Had you guys played out the rough uncut 7 or 8 minutes, I think it would have been death by 1,000 paper cuts.
So we played 45 minutes at the screening, but to save our butt, I took off the other 23 minutes that wasn't edited and didn't have no good audio. I just started deleting all of it. And what that did is it shifted some things in the movie. So at the screening, Lily's stuff, her audio got shifted. So some of her audio was moving, but her mouth wasn't. So it kind of like a
Chinese
movie.
I noticed a couple times, yeah. You guys were in the front row, right?
Yeah, we were in the front row.
I was sitting in the back. Were there any moments that you could feel the audience like not liking what we had?
I didn't get worried up until the part where we were starting to get to Guatemala, because that's the part where the good audio wasn't there.
But it was pretty good, though. Overall, it was really good. It's just we got to figure out the ending, so you and I will talk to Neil tonight.
Overall, it was very good. When the movie was over, the crowd immediately stood up and applauded. And as you heard, the movie was dedicated to Neil's father-in-law, who was the movie's number one cheerleader, Neil Gallarte.
So when I met the Encarnaciones, Noemi's dad was a simple man, a pastor. He was already elderly, but I think he was maybe 70 or 71. But he loved life, and he was so positive, and he was a hugger and the nicest guy ever. And in many ways, just touched me and was like a second dad to me. And he cared so much about every dumb little thing I did, smallest accomplishments, little pieces of equipment. He loved cars like I did. He loved family. And he wanted to see this film so badly. And so basically I got to experience for about 8, 9 years, 10 years, the same relationship that I think my dad had with my grandfather. So when I would travel for the messengers, everywhere I went, Monse would collect the newspapers from that city. And he would tell me Nino. He called me Nino because he never called me Neil. He couldn't say Neil. So no one will ever call me Nino again. And that's part of the loss. And so everywhere that we go, whether it was Guatemala, whether it was Puerto Rico, no matter where I went, Los Angeles, Philadelphia. I would go out of my way to get him the morning newspaper. So that he could be part of the journey with us. So, when we got close to wrapping the film, he would always ask me, Nino, how's the movie? Nino, y la película, Nino, how's it looking? I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to be there with you.
So while Neil was still dealing with the initial shock of losing his father-in-law, his entire family was dealing with the shock of paying for a funeral. Once again, the podcast community stepped up to the plate twice. At the end of the movie, we announced that James Van Pruyen's father had attended the screening but needed some place to stay. The podcast community immediately stepped up and said, we have an extra room in this hotel or that. He had multiple rooms to choose from. But then we said, by the way, Neil's family needs help with the funeral. And I must say I was impressed as I went out to the closest ATM in the hotel to see that there was a small line to get to the ATM. And yes, they were all podcasters. But special shout out to Daniel J. Lewis, because it was looking like we weren't going to have enough money. And the funeral director needed the money the following day. And this isn't a kind of a situation where it's half down, half later. It's no, we need it all now or it's not going to happen. So Daniel J. Lewis from the audacitytopodcast.com actually wired money to whoever needed to go to where Neil's family could have a funeral. So in the span of, in some cases, a couple hours, a couple days, the crew had gone from the adrenaline rush of editing a movie at the final second to the incredible loss of a loved one, to the incredible high of a standing ovation, to the incredible stress of paying for a funeral, to now having to go through the funeral. And Neil's father-in-law didn't just touch his immediate family, Willie Harper.
I've known Monse for 6.5 years, and Monse was like another grandfather to me. I lost my grandfather back in 2004, so having Monse in my life just meant me having another grandfather fill in that void that was missing. So today, him no longer being here is a big missing hole, but I'm just going to fill that with all the great memories that we had and just keep them in my heart and really take today as a celebration. So I'm more than happy that he's transitioning himself to a better place.
So when we started the movie, did you ever think we'd go through all these twists and turns?
No. This is the biggest twist and turn out of everything, you know, from losing crew members to crunching deadlines. The series of events for this movie is, if somebody would have told me that we would have gone through all of this, I never would have believed it.
And the movie still gets made.
And the movie still gets made, yeah. So actually, I think the real movie is what happened behind the scenes.
2 days ago, we were in front of a crowd. Yeah, 3 days ago. In front of a crowd giving us an ovation for a movie dedicating to Monse, and now we're at his funeral. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah, it's very, very surreal. And I just want to thank all the podcasters out there who gave and donated, who looked outside themselves to help others. That is what podcasting is all about. That is the reason why I, who was not a podcaster, chose to help show on the big screen what it's like to be part of that family, because podcasters are a unit. We all stick together, and that's what real podcasting is all about.
Every morning he will wake up and wait for the bus to go see his wife. That's in a nursing home. But at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear him praying. Every single day. And that prayer, y esa palabra, y esa oración, nos ayudaba a mí. Porque mientras yo estaba trabajando en la computadora, editando algo, a esa hora más o menos, cuando yo necesitaba fuerza, yo lo oía a él clamando al Señor. Y esa palabra me daba mi fuerza. And those words would give me strength. God is good.
Amen.
And all the time.
Yeah.
Dios es bueno.
Amen.
Dios es bueno.
Amen.
Dios es bueno. Amen. Más que bueno.
Yes.
Yo estoy agradecido de él.
Amen.
So, sin falla.
Thank you.
Sin falla. Para que los hijos sepan. He loved you guys. He was a good man. And we're going to miss him. But one day we're going to see each other. Amen? Hay momentos.
And while it was a time of sadness and grief as the family dealt with their loss, Neil mentioned his father-in-law was a pastor, so it was also a celebration of his life and a celebration of him being in a much better place. Years from now, the crew will remember the time when they worked with insane amounts of dedication to sacrifice time with their family, to sacrifice health and sanity, to produce a screening of a movie that wasn't even done and yet received a standing ovation.
When people were standing up, I didn't even think about the movie. And just as they stood up, the picture saying dedicated to Adrian Monse Encarnacion came up. My parents were sitting right behind me. Love my parents, you know. Monse just had a different place in my heart. It's not even a comparison to my own parents. She just had a special place. He just gave a shit, man. There's so many people in this industry and that I know fake it. Or just tell me, oh, you're making a movie, cool. You know, he gave a shit, man. At every level and at every small or very big moment of my life in those 10 years. So I apologize for my emotions. It's just that literally until I'm recording this, I don't know if I've really dealt with it. And I hate it because then I sound so... I listen to these episodes later and I'm like, Neil, man up, man. Guess that's the Latino in me. But I just want to dedicate this movie to Monse. Miss you, man. And I did my best work because I wanted to show my dad, my mom, that their sacrifice of coming from Venezuela for me to be somebody, which I chose to be a filmmaker and a video producer, whatever, that paid off because we premiered in Tampa on the 25th year after I left my parents' home to go to Los Angeles. And when I was in California, I actually went to the home where my very first dreams of being a filmmaker were realized. I took a picture right underneath the window and, this film, man, it even allowed me to go home and go full circle and look up at that window and let it go. Like I made it, you know, when I was a little kid there, I used to dream about being a filmmaker. I lived so close to, you know, Los Angeles, not too far. All my dreams were to be make movies, you know. I was a big Knight Rider fan and I just wanted to make movies, magic of how they do all that. And 25 years later, there I was taking a picture, you know, at the house that birth where my dreams were born. And so that was a power moment. And then Guatemala came around and, you know, just seeing the poverty and working with the families. And I realized, man, I used to dream about working like in Discovery Channel, you know. And because they get to travel the world and see all these beautiful things. And here I am in the middle of Antigua and I have a lady crying to me saying, please tell my story because the cavalry will come in Spanish. And watching her little boy live in a two pieces of metal and a tin roof, cooking over an open fire. Pretty sure that alone will cause all types of problems health-wise. who knows how long he'll be. And so those type of moments, and of course the death of Monse just changed my life and trajectory forever. So I'll end with just saying I'm so proud of this movie, and I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to see some of my dreams realized, whether it be international cinematography, whether it be editing my first documentary length, full-length documentary, whether it be going back home full circle, whether it be my wife finally seeing me deliver on a long-held promise, or my daughter seeing Daddy get a standing ovation, or having my dad sit in front of me in a theater after 25 years of promising him and hitting play and he actually see my name as director and editor. And all I want to tell Monse is, hey, man, I'm saving the newspaper for you, buddy. And that's it. It's a wrap.
In the next episode of The Messengers, the crew now has to figure out how to do the proper ending of the film.
I agree. Keep pressing play. I'm not disagreeing.
Okay, it's going to snowball, so more people are hearing
that. Right now, there's nothing that's exciting. It's all boring.
Right, it's because you're a boy.
And they begin their quest of acquiring distribution. I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com asking you, what's your message?